Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Realizing our spiritual poverty, being broken over our condition, which is a brokenness that leads to a change, a repentance. That's the brokenness. Something has to change. Until you're there, you are still on the very course that is taking you to hell. Wait a minute. I'm not going to hell. Yes, you are. Not because you are, you know, as bad as that guy, but because you are without Christ. You are not of the kingdom of heaven.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were born with a sinful nature, which causes us to think, feel, and act in a manner that displeases God. Our sin results in us being separated from Him, and the only way we can be reconciled to God is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanses us from all our sins and makes us righteous before God. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. As we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, What is a Christian?
We're very blessed with the people that God brings and those who get involved and serve and that we get to know. And the way to feel connected is to follow the Lord with all of your heart. That's the way you get connected to God's people. The idea isn't to connect to me. The idea isn't to connect to the church, find a church where you just connect and fit in. That's a social club. That's a social group. You press in on the Lord and you'll begin to connect with His people because He brings you into His service. The service is outside the home. You'll begin to connect with people, the neighborhood. You won't just be on, you know, the little pad and walking around in life. You'll connect with others. You know, we think connection has to be through Wi-Fi now. But you know, there's a human connection that God wants us to make. And on a large scale or in a condensed scale, Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever there are services, we connect with each other by coming alongside and serving our Lord, getting to know others, being involved, and having more to our life than just living it and then dying. God intends for so much more in our life. So we're talking about that through this, I guess, a series on the question, what is a Christian? We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Beatitudes. We're starting to see that they're not just a bunch of cute sayings that we should try to live by, but when you look at them closely, they actually form the very course of one who belongs to the kingdom of God. They're not, oh, I experienced this. Oh, I experienced this. They're what every Christian, every member of the kingdom ought to experience. It ought to be a part of who you are. There's a very deliberate order. It's almost like Jesus, as He sits with His disciples and He tells them this, He's preparing them for the inward work that is going to take place, the experiences they're going to have, and He's reassuring them that when you experience these feelings, when you experience these emotions, I'm going to fill them. They're going to be filled. So don't be afraid, don't fear, I am going to be with you. God is going to be with you. Jesus' theme, as He teaches, is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. In chapter 4, we saw that when Jesus went out preaching, He was preaching the kingdom of heaven. And so we see a lot of in the kingdom or kingdom parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, He's instructing them. He says, the kingdom of heaven is among you. It's here. How's it here? Because we don't see the kingdom of heaven. Is it some invisible kingdom? Is that what you're talking about? No. First and primarily, the kingdom that he's referring to is that future kingdom when he rules and reigns as he promised on earth. However, it's already starting right here and now, because it's not the place as much as the system of government. And what is that kingdom? What is the government of that kingdom? It is the rule and reign of God. Scripture says that men have turned their back on God. They live as if there is no God. It doesn't change the fact that there is one, but they live like there isn't one. They turn their backs on him. I don't want him to rule over me. And so we don't have the kingdom of God on earth, but Jesus came and established that kingdom. Sounds a little bit like that. He came and it was an emergency. And he's here. And he's ruling and reigning in the hearts and lives of those who receive him. And he's not just a religion. He's very real to those who have received him. It's a relationship. When you enter this relationship, it's like you experience an internal work. Things begin to happen in your life that you just can't vocalize. You can't make someone else believe it. Just your life becomes a testimony, but you can't express it outwardly. It's just like, I don't know how to say it. Well, it's just a strong feeling you have. No, it's so much more. He works circumstances. You don't understand. And they don't. Because they don't know God and they don't know his power. They don't have faith. So there's a deliberate order, and Jesus is explaining that this is what's going to go on in your lives. So be ready. Let's read verses 1 through 12 again as we continue to answer the question, what is a Christian? Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We started looking at what is a Christian at the beginning of this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We've already talked about these in depth, so I don't want to go over them again, but I want to touch on them because we're building. The spiritually poor are those who acknowledge that they have poverty. There's something missing in them spiritually. They are in need. And that there's something that they need beyond this world. It's a spiritual poverty. They come to that place and then they meet Christ who fills it. And when he fills that need, he gives them heaven. When you come to that place of acknowledging your spiritual poverty, then are, and only then are you in a place to truly receive heaven. And until you're in that place, and for some it takes great, great desperation and brokenness. And God's faithful to do that. He will break you. I didn't quite need to be broken as much as my dad did. But God will break you. He's reaching out. He continues to reach out. And he will take you to that place of utter desperation for him. But you have to come to a place and understand that you are spiritually poor and bankrupt. Then what happens is you mourn. You mourn over your condition. You mourn over what you've done with your life. You mourn over what's going on in your life, sin and the ravages of sin in your life and in the lives of others around you. And it causes a brokenness finally, a mourning. And the interesting thing is it says they should be comforted. This isn't everyone who cries, everyone who's hurt, I'll heal them. They'll be comforted because there are many who don't know Christ and they go to the grave discouraged. Oh, that hope is right there. But they never receive the one and only who can comfort them. And so they go down in the bitterness, in the despair, never to realize the hope and the comfort that you receive from knowing Jesus Christ. But when you come to Him and you're broken and you're so sorry about the mess, He doesn't hammer you. He comforts you. I know that. There was a time in my life where I didn't have Christian fellowship. It was very difficult. It was early on. And as I began to walk back into the old ways, when God got my attention again, I thought, man, you know, doing it before being a Christian, that's one thing. But, oh, there's no hope for me. And yet the Lord brought me in, restored me, and said, now you see, even as a Christian, sin is not only sin, it's worse than you thought. Now, follow me. And He comforted me. He built me up and lifted me up. That's what He wants to do. Realizing our spiritual poverty, being broken over our condition, which is a brokenness that leads to a change, a repentance. That's the brokenness. Something has to change. Until you're there, you are still on the very course that is taking you to hell. Wait a minute. I'm not going to hell. Yes, you are. Not because you are, you know, as bad as that guy, but because you are without Christ. You are not of the kingdom of heaven. And no one who is not of the kingdom of heaven, even as good as you might be, it's not about good. It's about what kingdom you belong to. No one who does not belong to the kingdom of heaven will enter heaven. It's for them alone. So place yourself under His rule now, but this mourning causes a repentance, a turn, a change in our lives. Now, this realization humbles a person so that they begin to reign over their emotions. We talked about meekness. Meekness is power under control. The example we gave was that of a horse that's been broken. A horse, the best horse, is more powerful than you. If He wants to, He could buck you off. If He wants to, He could kick you while you try to approach Him. He's powerful. Don't be fooled. But He gets broken so that He's led so easily, just a little tug. In fact, I was talking to Craig. His daughter did some riding and stuff. And they said, once you break the horse, you can actually just put your hand under their chin and start walking, and the horse will actually follow you. It's so used to the fact that, hey, I'm already broken, you know, I've already got this thing on me. So he just follows you, and you don't even have a rope on him. The idea is that you become meek. Someone who, yeah, you have the power to do anything you want, but you submit yourself willingly, power under control. To who? To God. And people call you names. You know you could take them out too. Some of those guys, you could take them out. You could take them. You're not a wimp as a Christian. I know that. You know that. We're not wimpy people. This isn't a wimpy religion. However, you also understand you're under the Lord, that one day there's a day coming. God will judge. People will be in hell. They don't need a right hook today. Doesn't do anything except cause you to go to jail and it's a bad witness. So you refrain. And you submit yourself to the Lord. You forego looking cool, looking strong, in order to walk humbly with your God. And it can be, for some, one of the most difficult things to do, is to look weak. But Jesus was willing to do that Himself. Carrying His cross, He couldn't even pick it up anymore. Someone else had to carry it. He was willing to look weak for you. He just asks that you get a grip on your sinful nature and submit yourself to Him. And He will lead you in every way that you need to go. Not only your physical selves, but even your mind. In Corinthians, Paul said, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So, we begin to get a control over our lives. And it says that they will inherit the earth. Why? Because as we begin to control our earthly selves, we are subduing sort of the things of the earth, and we are controlling ourselves on earth like we should, ruling ourselves. Now that we've dealt with the turning from, because if you look at what we've dealt with so far, it's a turning from, mourning over sin, and controlling ourselves and overcoming sin, getting a grip on those things. Now we begin to turn. There's a transition to turning from these things to turning to something. It happens in the life of every believer who begins to grow. What is that? Well, that's what we read in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, it's no longer about, I've got to stop this. I've got to change this. I really do need to stop cussing, at least saying some of these harsh words, and definitely not using the Lord's name in vain. I need to stop doing certain things. You know, I've been saying I just like the taste of beer, but, you know, I like the taste of Pepsi too, but I don't slam 6 or 7 of those at one time. So, since that's true, I need to stop doing some things. But it doesn't just stop there. You turn to something else. Because you can't just empty yourself of a bunch of things. Too much free time, the Bible talks about, is not good for you. Not good for me either. It's not good for us. We don't put godly things in there. So what we must do is start to hunger and thirst for what should we do? What should I fill this with? If I'm going to stop talking this way, how should I talk? I'm going to stop doing these things. What should I fill that with? That is the process of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What God wants for us. We should all get to that place as believers. This isn't for some. This is for everyone who believes in the Lord. Before I became a Christian, I couldn't understand why it was so important for some people to have a good Bible. You got to have a good Bible. Yeah, they're all good. They're the Bible. I didn't understand it. So they wanted a quality one, you know, because they're going to use it so much. They didn't want it falling apart and have to buy one every, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And I saw some, man, their Bibles were wearing out. They loved them. And one time, in fact, they called me out. They said, hey, looks like a brand new Bible. You know, if your Bible's not worn in, you know, it's not wearing in your life. I'm like, hey, I just happen to take care of my stuff. Now, the point was well taken. In fact, it was a brand new Bible and I hadn't been walking with the Lord or opening it. However, the truth is, my Bibles actually still do look pretty good. I don't do all the marking in them. I take care of them and so they look good. So don't look at my Bible and go, you know, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to somebody whose life isn't. My Bible is in good shape. In fact, I've got my Bible on here too, and this is holding together pretty well. So, we need to open our Bibles, read our Bibles. Hunger and thirst. Having a good Bible should be important to us. Having a Bible should be important to us. Having access to one should be important to us. But then there were those who started to say things early on like, I got to get to church. Oh, I got church Sunday. Like, man, you're a little fanatic about church. You know, I love the Lord and I can pray from anywhere. I talk to God. So, you know, tell me I got to be disciplined with my life and try to get to church. I got things to do. Well, what do you do on Saturday night that keeps you up? Well, you don't, that's between me and the Lord. That's our answer, isn't it? That's between me and the Lord. You're pressing in too far. I have no good answer, so that's between me and the Lord. You don't worry about that. God tells me he wants to go to church, he'll put me there. I'll wake up there one morning. So there we go. making excuses. And yet, it should be the desire of our heart to be around God's people. And then reading your Bible outside of church. Now, that's a zealot. That's just too much. Look, that's why your Bible's wore out. You know that thing will last a lot longer if you stop opening it during lunch. You got church. You let the pastor do the interpreting for you. And yet, I have learned that one of the desires in our heart is not to wait till Sunday to hear from God, but to hear from each and every day. And that the work God wants to do in our lives is done more in depth and more efficiently in our own personal study with Him than sitting in the church on Sunday. Because what He's going to do is He's going to minister to us, and then He's going to apply it often very quickly to our lives as we go about our day. And then the Scripture gets worked into our lives, and we begin to understand the Scriptures more clearly than just having someone lecture you on what the meaning of the Scripture is, going away and forgetting quickly what was said. So there was that. They were hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And then, going a little further than that, people would say things like, "Praise the Lord," or "God is good." What do you got to do that? Why you got to say that in the conversation? "Hey, you know, this was great. Yeah, God is good, isn't He?" Well, yeah, what's that got to do with this? We're not talking about God right now. And so people are always thinking about God. But here's why. See, early on, I wasn't like that. I was too cool by the world standards. Say, hey, you go to church? You better believe I go to church. I'm just not a wacko like that guy and that guy that always talking about the Lord. I don't say praise the Lord, lift my hands in worship. Absolutely not. I don't know what that's all about. But I was cool. I was a cool Christian. But as you begin to hunger and thirst for more, you say there's got to be more. You ever thought that? It's got to be more. Even as a Christian, you go, there's more. I'm not living the way you want. I mean, this can't be it. And He begins to tell you, yeah, there's a work I want to continue to do in your heart, in your life. But you won't listen. And so my dad one time dealt with something as simple as raising his hands during worship. See, some of you look at people who raise their hands in worship and think they're just outgoing type whatever personalities. Some of them are. No problem. In fact, God might say to them, hey, you know, stop running around the church. Nobody needs to see you so happy. Just rejoice in your seat and lift your hands and chill out. But for some, and maybe you know this one, and we're in a more conservative group here, God's actually said, I want you to lift your hands. You know, on that line of that song, you've experienced it. With my hands lifted high, and your hands are right here. With my hands lifted high, spiritual hands, Lord, you know. And the Lord says, no, you know, I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I want you to actually be willing to lift your hands to me. I'm not saying dance. You don't have to get loose at the hips or anything like that. I'm just saying lift your hands. My dad had that struggle. I had that struggle. I'm concerned. Hey, you don't got to do that. It's true. You don't have to do that. Doesn't enhance your worship one bit unless the Lord starts to speak to your heart. These are just little things. You're like, this has nothing to do with righteousness, does it? It does, because it's about obedience. It's about being willing to submit ourselves to the Lord and be even a fool for Him. And for me, lifting hands was, you know, it looks good on them. They look good. But that's not me. Mm-mm. And so my dad, I remember the struggle. With my hands lifted high. Right here. You can't see it right now, but you got to pay attention. It's here. The fingers go from here to here. Look at it. Hands lifted high.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.